be a friend that you would never see, or someone that you care a lot about and you've invested a lot of time in. Paul had invested several years into the church at Ephesus. He's calling the elders from that area that obviously had gone out and started churches, and he brought them back in to talk to them, and he's about to instruct them. And I just want us to kind of get into his mind. What is he thinking? How is he thinking? What would you do if you're in his position, having the opportunity to address someone that you cared a lot about, whether it's a relative or a friend? How would you address them? So let's take our Bibles. Let's stand. Let's go to Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter number 20, and we're going to start reading in verse number 17. Just going to read a few verses here, and I'm not sure how many we'll get to tonight. But the main thing I want to do is just think about this. How would you instruct someone? Because you may have the opportunity to instruct someone in a capacity where God has let you know somehow that you may never see them again, or something may happen to them. Or you may be going away for a while. Every time we go back home, thanks to the ease of computers and phones and technology, you know, you can just dial someone. But let's just suppose you can't, because Paul couldn't. Acts 20 and verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now behold, I go, bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Father, bless now these next moments as we contemplate what was going through Paul's mind and how he must have felt knowing that he was bound for Jerusalem and bound for afflictions. God, we may be in the same situation where we have to address someone for the very last time or maybe for a long time. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight and help us to gather our thoughts and our thought process as to how we might address a people that we love or a family member that we love or a friend that we love and care for and recall the times that we have invested in them. We thank you and love you and pray that your hand of mercy may be upon us and that, Lord, you might fill me with your Spirit. Help me to instruct once again with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, to stir our minds by way of remembrance, and Holy Spirit may give us some things to take home and a nugget to think about, because we may be in this same predicament having to instruct someone that we may never see for some time. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now and meet our need. If there's one lost tonight without Christ, save that man, woman, boy, or girl. Thank you for the precious grace of eternal life that you gave to that young gal this morning. And now speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. You may be seated. In your outline there, most of you should have one of these before, because we gave these out again. This outline or this kind of overview of the book of Acts will help you to understand more about the book of Acts. Notice what it says there in that first opening paragraph. As we continue the study of Acts of the Apostles, of the Holy Spirit through the church, you will notice some things only took place in this book. And that is very key. You have a lot of people who want to take some things out of the Acts of the Apostles and apply a doctrine to that when that's not accurate. Notice the lead-in sentence on the second paragraph. That's because the book of Acts is a transition book. You notice that God doesn't part the Red Sea anymore. He doesn't have the serpents coming in to strike the children of Israel anymore, and many other miracles that Moses did. You know why? Those were for a time and for a reason. You notice he doesn't stop the sun anymore like he did for Joshua. And the walls of Jericho don't come down anymore. And there's certain different signs that God used at certain times for different reasons. And he does that for a reason. The Acts of the Apostles is a transition book. And by the way, when you look at miracles, If you think about it, miracles don't happen a whole lot in the Bible. They happened a whole lot between Moses and Joshua. They happened a whole lot between, what's the guy's name? Elijah and Elisha. You find some in the book of Daniel. But other than that, you don't really see a whole lot of miracles any other place. They didn't really happen a whole lot with John the Baptist. But with between John the Baptist and Jesus, you saw miracles. Why? These were transition periods from Moses to Joshua, from Elijah to Elisha during the time of Daniel, and then down on into the New Testament between John the Baptist and Jesus. And then through the miracles of the apostles, you find those happening. But you don't find them all over the Bible. But in transitional periods, you do find miracles. Here we do find that. Notice what it says. This is a transition book, transitioning from the law to grace, from an outward law to an inward leading, from the temple to the church, from the priest to the pastor, from the Sabbath or Saturday to Sunday. By the way, there are still people that want to celebrate the Sabbath. And I've had no problem with that. Amen. It's just not a New Testament principle. Amen. And you can celebrate the Sabbath anytime you want to. Amen. You can say, well, let's do church on Saturday. But that's not what the early Christians did. Amen. And so Acts to the New Testament, notice what it says there. Acts to the New Testament, Acts is to the New Testament what Genesis is to the Bible. By the way, everything unfolds in Genesis. The promise is there. The curse is there. The redemption is talked about there. Canaan land is there. The patriarchs are there. Everything is there in Genesis. And the rest of the Bible just fulfills Genesis. Well, when you come up with Acts, it's the same way. It sets the framework for understanding 12 of the 27 books of the New Testament and gives the overview or the opening of the New Testament way of life. Why? The apostles wrote them, and the apostles were Jesus, and they are carrying out that in the book of Acts. And that's why it's a transitional book. And so throughout this study, we have seen how Jesus preserves, protect, prospers, purges, and provides for his church. The principal verse in Acts is Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. The program in Acts is spreading the gospel. You see it being spread in those verses listed there, 1:8, 5:28, 8:1-5, and 17:6. The purpose in Acts is bringing all of Jesus' disciples together into local churches by the power of the Holy Ghost and establishing order. Who needed to be bought in under the New Testament economy? The Jews, number one, had to be bought in. B, the Samaritans had to be bought in. We saw the woman at the well with the worship. C, the Gentiles, Cornelius in chapter number 10. And then D, John's disciples in Acts chapter 19, which we just saw when we finished this last part of the study. So those disciples all need to be brought in under the umbrella of the local church, and they had to be formed together and not be John's disciples and not be the Jewish disciples and not be the Samaritan disciples and not be the Gentile disciples. They all had to be Christ's disciples in the local church. Some were highly Jewish. Others were highly Gentile. Some had a mixture of both. But local churches then began to be the norm. Many of those groups were very, very small. It was very rare to find a church like Jerusalem where you had thousands. Why? Because they were being persecuted. And the larger the crowd, the easier it is to find you to persecute you. Amen? And so many were that way. The people in Acts over there on the right side, it says the main characters are Peter and Paul. Notable sub-characters include Silas, Barnabas, Timothy, Philip, James, Stephen, and Aquila and Priscilla. The panorama of Acts, understanding the trail after the ascension of Christ, unlocks the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. These were mission churches established by Paul that became independent congregations and individuals that Paul needed to instruct on local New Testament Christianity and its operation. The book of Acts also illuminates and expands upon the message of the Gospels, gives insight into Romans, Hebrews of the Revelation, and the other epistles of James, John, Peter, and Jude. And so if you can really get a hold of the Acts of the Apostles, the rest of the New Testament really comes alive. If you don't really understand the Acts, the epistles, the epistles to the Ephesians and to the Colossians and to Ephesus, that's not going to make any sense to you. But reading through Acts brings that all together. So with that said here, Paul here has the undertaking of getting these Ephesian elders together. Now, I don't know about you, but Brother Holmes, if you were going to see somebody for the last time, I'm sure you gave a farewell address down in Sierra Vista. What were some of the thoughts that you gave them in Sierra Vista? Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, was there a specific thought process that you gave them as you were leaving? Amen. Brother Watson, what about you? You know, parting words. What were some thoughts that you might have left with the folks?
Get right with God.
Get right with God. Amen. Amen. I can still recall, I just watched a video a while back on my last Sunday when I was at Calvary Baptist Church in Belgium. And I got a chance to challenge the teenagers as well as the adults. And, you know, I just gave my heart. I said, look, stick with the stuff. I said, let's not get caught up with pettiness and foolishness. Let's just be faithful to Jesus. Let's just stick with the stuff. And let's just do what God has called us to do. And I left them with that charge and with that challenge out of Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I said, now I'm leaving. I'm going away. I'm going back to America, which I didn't want to go. But I said, what are you going to do after I'm gone? Are you still going to serve God? Are you going to mope around just because I'm not the teen group leader over here and I'm not doing the activities and I'm not doing vacation Bible school? You guys going to just dry up and go away? Or are you going to submit yourself to the new leadership over here in the youth group and go for God? And I challenged them on that. And guess what? They stuck with the stuff. And so Paul here has the task of bringing these Ephesian elders in. Remember, he had been down there for several years. He's coming back through here again. He's on his way to Jerusalem to get to the day of Pentecost. And as you look at verse number 18 or 16, notice it says, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, just think about this, parents. If you were to call your children in and say that they're going away to college or they're going away to get married or they're going away someplace and you're calling your children, or just the opposite. Maybe you were going to a foreign mission field. You were going somewhere. You were leaving. What challenge would you give your children? What things would you put out before them that you know they're going to need to know whilst they're away from you? Pastor White, Mama gave me a big time talk before I went to college.
Amen.
She let me have it.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Dad said, don't call for money. I did call for money, though. But I told Mom to ask him. What thought? Give me some input. What would you challenge your children on if you're leaving? Or if they were leaving, they're going away. What would you challenge your kids on?
Stay faithful what you learn.
Stay faithful what you learn. Stay in the Word of God. Amen. What would we challenge our kids? Pastor White? Amen. 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 And no matter where you go, there's going to be some Christians there. It may not be a church building like this, and you may not have all the foo-foo-ra of, you know, a nice parking lot and AC, but everywhere you go, there's going to be Christians, and you can gather together. And that's pretty much what they did back in these days. They just gathered together. So he sent for the elders. Verse number 18 says this, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. So in other words, what Paul is saying to them is, you know my manner along this journey. You know what I've been. By the way, parents, can you say that to your children? You know how I've been. You know what I expected of you. You know what I've asked you to do. Paul said, hey, look, you know my manner has been the same. Paul said, my manner on this journey has been the same. What manner I've been with you in all seasons. Paul could say, you've known me since the first day. He had not changed his position. He had not changed his preaching. He was consistent. By the way, that's the way it ought to be. You know, Brother Watson should be able to leave and come back in 5 years, and we should still be singing from the hymns, and we should still be preaching the King James Bible. I shouldn't be up there in my Bermuda shorts and my sandals up there saying, well, let me talk to you with this glass pulpit. I got nothing against glass pulpits because we got one. Amen. But I'm just saying, you know, he should be able to come back in 5 years and still find us sticking with the stuff because it doesn't change. And Paul is saying here, hey, you know what manner I've been with you. I've been the same. And all Christians ought to have that mindset and that manner on their journey. Hey, I'm not going to change. I'm going to grow. Yes, I'm going to grow in the Lord. I'm going to learn new things and new principles. Yes, but my position on the Bible is not going to change. My position on salvation is not going to change. It's still by grace through faith, how you say, you still should get baptized. You still should join a local church. You still should tithe. You still should soul win. You still should study your Bibles. That doesn't change. I don't care how many apps are out there. By the way, let me give you this, and this is free. Apps don't make you more spiritual.
That's right.
I'm just saying, I got one. But the average person that has apps can't find a thing in their Bible with their fingers. Somebody say amen. I'm just being honest. I have gotten lazy, Pastor White, because I can go there and punch that up. And sometimes I can find it quicker. That's scary.
Oh, yeah.
What happens when you don't have a phone? When you don't have internet connection? And now you're back to letting your fingers do the walking.
Wow.
Remember the old days? Let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages. The yellow pages are a thing of the past. Now it's gone. We got Google. We don't need yellow pages. Amen. We got Google. We got YouTube. We got Facebook. We got every kind of book except the good book. Amen. And we've got to get back to that, and nothing should change when it comes to that. Paul said, you know my manner, you know my preaching, you know my teaching, you know what I believe. I guess the scariest thing for my folks is when I went overseas and got saved. And they thought, ho, 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 ho. Now we know what manner you've been, and this is not the manner that you've been. You have never talked about getting saved. You have never talked about getting right. You have never talked about getting right with God and getting in the church. You have never talked about sin the way you do now. You've never done these things. What's wrong with you, boy? My manner had changed. They called me boy, Pastor White. Amen, amen. So they got to call Pastor White, Pastor White. They can call me boy, though. So yeah. He gets those adopted privileges. Amen. And so Paul says, my manner on the journey has been the same. It's been the same all season. If you're challenging your children, you want to make sure if they don't know anything else, they know your consistency and that you're going to still be consistent when they get back. Yeah, nothing's going to change about that. I'm not going to change what I believe. I'm not going to change that. And Paul said, you know that. And so Paul's manner on the journey, how would you speak to your children if you know you would not see them for a while? Would you call into question your testimony? You know my stand all my life. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. I've made some mistakes. But guess what? I'm not going to change my position. Sin is still sin. God is still good. Hell is still hot and heaven is still real. I'm not going to change that. But then he says something else. Now, not only should all Christians have that manner on their journey, but then Paul begins to talk about his mindset on this journey as well. Not just his manner, but his mindset. Notice verse number 19. And he says down there, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Paul begins to talk about his mindset on this journey, how he had this humility of mind. By the way, humility means lowliness, a meekness, and being not puffed up with pride. Why is it in Paul's best interest to be humble among people that he is spiritually more mature? Is he spiritually more mature? So why does he have to be humble? Joshua? Amen, Joshua. If he's prideful, pride is sin. Amen. That's right. Pride is sin. And so, by the way, everything that Paul had, who gave it to him? God. So does he have anything to be prideful about? Absolutely not. Parents, everything that you have, guess who gave it to you? God. So we've got nothing to be proud about. Amen. Humility is key. Not putting myself up to be more. I've got written down here, behooves us all to have humility in our lives. You'll be able to get along with others better when you are humble. Amen. You should not be too big or you shouldn't be too little. Now, there's this false humility and says, well, you know, I can't do anything right. Brother Duffy, you're better at me than everything. You can run a better marathon, even though you got a cane and I got a boot. And, Mrs. Duffy, I'm a low life. I'm no good. That's false humility. That's garbage. God didn't make us like that. But then I can say, well, Brother Duffy, you wish you could dunk like me, man. Don't you know who taught Air Jordan? It was me. And then you get all puffed up. And that's worse, too. So you don't want to be too high, and you don't want to be too low. Paul said, I had a humility of mind. By the way, do children need humility of mind, too, from us? Yes. We can become lords over them. What's the word I'm looking for? Unfairly. And try to make them say, well, you have to live up to my standard or the way I am, or you're nothing. You're no good. And we can't do that. Each child is uniquely different, and they're created differently. And so we don't want to be that way. So Paul said, you know my mindset on this journey. I have been the same, and my mindset has been the same. Notice Romans 12:3. Let's look over there real quick. You're in Acts here. Go to Romans. And again, thinking about this, how would you instruct your child? Would you let them know about the humility of mind that you had or didn't have, or the humility of mind that you wish you had displayed? Romans chapter 12. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me, who's speaking here? Paul. To every man that is among you, not to what? Think of himself more what? Highly than he ought to think, but to think how? Soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, God has given you something. Don't be puffed up about it. Be serious about it and know that it was God that gave it to you. Amen. By the way, the parenting skills that you and I have, God has equipped us to do so. So we should praise him when we do good and ask him forgiveness when we do bad. Amen. Because that's then a misuse of the parenting skills that he's given us. Amen. And I'm not the perfect parent. Never have been. Probably never will be. And I'm sure if my children could shape up the perfect father, this wouldn't be it. Amen. But guess what? I am what I am by the grace of God. And I can go to my God and I can ask forgiveness. I can go to my children and ask for forgiveness when I mess up. What is that? Humility of mind. Humility of mind. And so Paul said, you know what? My mindset on this journey has been one of humility of mind. And then he says, serving with tears. Go back to Acts over there. Acts chapter 20. And notice what he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. What tears do you think Paul had? It could have been tears of sadness due to the rejection of Christ and his salvation to the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Or it could have been from the Jews only. Or it could be that he wouldn't see them anymore. If you were in this position, what might your tears be from? Gee? Maybe fear? Are they going to really apply what I've taught them? Rejection? Are they going to let the wolves in and tear up the church? Are they going to stick with the stuff? What could he says, look, I had some tears here. Now, he tells you a little bit, tears and temptations which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews. So it could be of the rejection that the Jews had of his gospel. Do we kind of get that way when our families reject the gospel that we give them? Yeah, I know when I try to get my family saved and they rejected me, I was sad about that. I wasn't happy. It's like, man, I got something good. Yeah, Pastor White? Amen. 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 I know I've got family members that my wife and I have led to the Lord. They have been saved, and some have gone on and got baptized, and you talk to them, and, hey, are you in church? You reading your Bible? No. How are you going to grow? You're not reading your Bible. You're not in church. How are you going to get? Well, you know, God's good to me. Well, he could be better to you. You know, come on. Yes. Right. Yes. Amen. Amen. And you know, we touched upon something similar to that yesterday in the men's devotion dealing with leadership, how it's against the law to do drugs. It's against the law to drink alcohol until you're a certain age. But the internet is wide open with all of that and more. And our children are exposed to this internet, and there's very little filtering that the government is doing. Everything is accessible to anyone that can get on there and punch it in. And they can be exposed to so much filth and garbage when alcohol is against the law and so many other things are against the law, but they can get on the internet and bring it up. How did this 17-year-old boy learn how to make a bomb? He was on the internet, and he learned how to make a bomb. That stuff shouldn't be accessible to children. And so he made these bombs and went in there and got his dad's gun and shot up 10 people, 11 people. You know, and so when you look at this, you know, there's a real danger here that can bring some tears. Paul's like, look, I'm going to be leaving and certain things can happen and I'm afraid for you. And so Paul says, hey, I serve you with humility of mind. I serve you with these tears here. And he said, and I had these temptations that went on in my life, some adversities and some trials. And he said, the lying and weight of my Jews, I tried to reach my people, but they rejected me. How many of us can agree with that? Amen. You try to reach family members and they reject you. Like, hey, we don't want any of that. Amen. Hey, get far away from me. They treat you like you got the plague. Hey, we're all going over here, but Greg, we know you don't want to come because you don't do this kind of stuff. Well, let's pick something that I do. How about that? Well, we don't do that. There you go. Amen. So, amen. So Paul said, you know what? I had a certain manner on this journey. I had a certain mindset on this journey in verse number 19. And when it comes to humility, notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride should bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in Peter 5:6, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So Paul is saying here, hey, look, you know what? I served you with the humility of mind. I had these tears. I had temptations or some dangers, some adversity, which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews. They were out to get me. He said, and all throughout that, notice this, I kept back nothing that was profitable for you. Nothing that was profitable. But notice what he says down there. I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Parents, would we want to do that for our children? Yes. I don't want to hold back anything. My mother must have gave me such a laundry list of stuff before I went off to college. Glory, I didn't think I could hold any more information in my head. I mean, she sat me down and she lectured me and she lectured me and she lectured me. Watch out for that boy. Watch out for that girl. Watch out for this situation. Watch out for this person. Watch out for that. And boom, boom. And I'm like, is it such a wicked world? I just might as well just stay home. I don't even go out there. Amen. I mean, she warned me about all kinds of stuff. And I thought, don't be hanging out in friend's house all night. Don't go over here. Don't be at your neighbor's house and blah, blah, blah. Don't trust everybody that you see. She had to say that because I was a trusting type of person. She said, some people might want to hurt you. I mean, me? Mom, this is me we're talking about. Nobody want to hurt me. She said, boy, don't be gullible. There'll be some people out there that want to hurt you. She said, some people that don't like you for who you are and what you have. And they'll want to get away from you. She said, you can't. And she gave me this long list. What am I saying? Paul said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Now, he's speaking spiritually speaking. But have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So Paul's method on the pathway of this journey, he said, you know what? I could tell you that everything that I knew that was helpful for you and profitable to you, I showed you and I taught you. My mom's famous phrase to me was, boy, this will help you. Whenever she said, boy, this will help you, I knew I was going to get it. Boy, this will help you. Then she'd give me what it was that was going to help me. Boy, you listening to me? This will help you. Yeah. This will help you. My mother, you say, you can learn something from a fool, boy. I said, what are you trying to say, mom? You know, hanging around fools, amen? He said, you know what? This was how I was with you. I showed you and I taught you. Titus 2:7 says this in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Think about it. If we were going to part with our children and not see them again, would we hold back anything? Especially if we knew that we weren't going to see them. Wouldn't you load the wagon up? My mother didn't know whether she was going to see me again. She thought, she prayed she would. But I was going to Iowa, and it used to snow bad up there. And we were in Illinois, and it was a three-hour drive back home. And I didn't come home, and I wasn't the most faithful calling son, unless I wanted something. Boy, why you didn't call us? Why you only call when you want something? Boy, you better pick up that phone and call. What do you say? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Call. Amen. Paul said, I didn't hold back anything that was profitable. What might be profitable to a young person that they need to hear? Ms. Dawson? Amen. 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 Ms. Dawson said, keeping your eyes on the Lord. All children need to hear that, although most children forget that. Peer pressure is very powerful as a tool amongst young and older people as well. Peer pressure, it just is. And so, you know, Paul talked about publicly. That was around others. And then he talked about privately in their own homes. He said, you know, we've done this in the public when we had everybody there. And then we've done this from house to house where there's only a select few there. But you have to know that my method on this journey was always the same. I wouldn't hold back anything that was profitable to you Ephesian elders. By the way, he is not going to see them. He is going to go away. He is going to leave, and they will be left to themselves. One day our children will get out of our care. They will get out of our home. They will get out of our sight. And we have got to bank on the fact that we held back nothing that was profitable to them. We gave them what they needed. We told them. Now, we can't make them do it. Amen. We can't make them do it. One of my famous examples I like to use in Scripture is Samson. Samson's parents did everything right for him, and he still made wrong choices. That's not their father, the mother and father's fault. That's Samson's fault. Why? Samson had a free will, and Samson did what he had. But I like the little caveat that God puts down there. It was of the Lord. God allowed him to make those type of decisions. Wow. It was of the Lord. And so it's interesting how Paul here is challenging them. And he's saying so far, you know what, Ephesian elders, I'm going to bring you in. I've spent some time with you, and you're like my children. You're like my babies. But you guys are leaders, and you guys are going to go back to your churches. And as you go back to your churches, I want you to make sure that you understand that this is what I've done. My method has been the same on this journey. My mindset has been the same on this journey. My manner has been the same on this journey. I've been the same at all seasons. My mindset was one of humility. He said, you know what? As we went down through here, my method was the same. I showed you and I taught you. I showed you what to do and I taught you how to do it. Amen. The method of practice was used. He said, you see, I showed you. And the method of training was used. He said, I taught you how to do. Amen. By the way, was Paul a doer? Yes, he was. He was a doer as well as a teacher. And so as we go down through here, I want us to keep that mindset in our hearts and keep that mindset in our thoughts. What would we tell somebody as they were about to get out of our presence, or if we were going to be gone from their presence? Paul is giving us a good illustration here of some things that you and I should challenge those that we love to do and to stick with and to stay with in case we don't see them. And Paul said, you know what? Hey, I may never see you again. Notice down in verse 37, it says, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, souring most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. This was their mentor. This was the man that they trusted in. And they were sad that he was going to go away. But Paul said, before I go away, I'm going to make sure that you know what you need to know so that you can do what you need to do. We would do the same with our children and with those that we love. And Paul is giving this final departure to them, because not long after this, he goes to Jerusalem. And you know the rest of the story. He does go to jail. And he does not come back to the church at Ephesus. If that person that we loved, or those persons that we love, or those parents that we loved, or those friends that we love, if we never saw them again, and we have the opportunity beforehand to tell them and impart to them what they need to know, let's make sure we do it. Don't hold back anything. You say, well, they might get mad at me. These folks could have got mad at Paul. But Paul said, none of these things move me. By the way, my mother told me a lot of things that I got mad at. And you know what I do every Mother's Day? Thank her for what she told me, because it helped me. Did it hurt me at the time? It hurt me. But it helped me in the long run. And every Mother's Day comes along, and even when it's not, I get mushy with her. I'm her little boy. I can do that. And my sister, I said, do the girls get mushy with you? She said, no, they don't get mushy like you. I let it all out, Mom. There's nobody like you. And tell her how much I love her and how much I miss her. I said, even though you put me on that 3-month punishment, I still love you. And she said, boy, you know you needed that. I said, I needed it more than you ever knew, because you got me for some stuff that I never got caught for. But amen, as we do look at this over the next several weeks, folks, just think about the person or persons you may have to charge. You may need to charge as Paul charged them. And then let God speak to you and speak through you as you give them encouragement. And I'm so glad I have people in my life that encourage me. Some good folks, some godly people, some sound, morally upright people that just gave me some good old hard facts. And guess what? Most of what they said is what I needed to hear. I didn't like it, but I needed to hear it. Let's make sure we're faithful to be like Paul, consistent in our mindset, consistent in our manner, consistent in the method that we use, so that 10 years, 5 years, whatever, people can look back and say, you still using that old book? Still using that old book? You still going to those fundamental churches? Still going to those fundamental churches. Y'all still don't have a rock band in there? Still don't have a rock band in there. Y'all still don't moonwalk? Still don't moonwalk. Not doing no backflips? Nope. Y'all not speaking in tongues yet? Nope. 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 You know, you still saved? I'm still saved. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, I do pray that each one of us might take a note and account of our lives, and Lord, be able to instruct people in our lives that are special. Instruct people that we care about. Instruct people that, Lord, we may never see again. Maybe it's a family member, maybe a relative, maybe a distant cousin, maybe a long friend, maybe a coworker. Lord, as we get opportunity, as Paul had these Ephesian elders there, giving them his mindset, his methodology, and his mannerisms, they could identify and listen to what he was saying. Thank you for being a God that loves us. Lord, thank you that we serve a God of the second chances. Lord, I thank you for the instruction that I've been given down through the years. Some of it has hurt me, but it's helped me in the long run. Lord, help us do the same thing, to give others that we know that same encouragement. No matter who they may be, we especially joy in challenging our children to do right. But it could be a parent that we have to challenge, or someone that's dear to our hearts. But whomever it is, Lord, help us to do that which is pleasing in thy sight. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you're thinking about that person, that girl, that boy, that dad, that mom, sister, brother. I'm going to ask Tasha just to play. You don't need to come forward, unless God really lays it upon your heart. But I just want you to think about that person that may be in the near future. What are you going to say to him? How are you going to challenge him? What will you tell them to do? Paul said, check out my mannerisms. My manner has been the same at all seasons. Paul said, check out my mindset. I've had humility of mind. Paul said, check out my method. I've not kept back anything. Everything's been the same. I've taught you publicly. I've taught you privately. We may have to get some people aside privately to teach them. Some we may have to teach publicly. But we should be able to teach others with our lives as well as with our lips. As we go through this journey in the Christian life, others need to know what you know. They need to hear what you feel. And so perhaps God may give you opportunity this week to talk to somebody that you need to talk to. Take a good page from Paul's book. Remind them of some things that are important. Remind them of some things that you endeavored to do along the way. You know, some of us will go home on vacations over the summer months. Maybe family members may come and visit you. Maybe that'll be a perfect time for you to talk with them. Tell them some things that they need to hear. Hopefully they'll say you've been the same in your mindset and your manner and your method, and so nothing's changed. I'll listen to what you have to say. So glad my mother didn't give up on me. She kept talking, she kept talking, and she kept talking. Even when she felt I wasn't listening, she kept talking. And she said, boy, you better listen up. I'm so glad I did. Father, each one of us has a different, unique walk this week. And each one of us has a different sphere of influence of family members and friends. For some of us, it'll be our children that are still at home. For others, it may be parents that need that influence. For others, it may be children that are away. For some, it may be a long-lost relative, but all of us have a sphere of influence. Help us to use it as Paul used it with the elders here at Ephesus and challenging them to the things that he was known for. Lord, help us to be the same in our mindset. Lord, if there's one here without Jesus Christ, help that man, that woman, that boy or girl to know, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and help them to be gloriously born again today. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I pray that that one that is struggling, hanging in the balance, needs to be saved, would be saved tonight. And then as Christians, Lord, we would leave here challenged to have that mindset, that manner, methodology that Paul had, speaking to the Ephesian elders about things that matter most, and that is the pathway of God and the program of God. Dismiss us with thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.